RBC sure isn't wasting any time as it starts to close and rebrand HSBC locations. Also, it's going to be tougher for a lot of Canadians to get a new mortgage following new rules that are being imposed on the banks. The Bank of Canada says quantitative tightening will last until at least 2025, and the CEO of Boeing has announced that he will be stepping down. Today is Monday, March the 25th, 2024. Let's get started with today's top stories. The Royal Bank sure isn't wasting any time as it wraps up its integration of HSBC into its operations. That will follow the planned closure of the $13.5 billion deal, which is set to actually close on March the 28th. So that's this coming Thursday. On that day, the bank plans to start conversions of the HSBC branches and offices into RBC locations immediately. The reopening is slated for April the 1st, so 3 days or maybe four over the weekend. Monday, you can expect those HSBC branches to look like RBC branches. The bank also says it will be closing 25 HSBC branches as part of the integration process. So the acquisition, this will now see RBC take over approximately 800,000 HSBC clients, 130 branches, 4,200 employees roughly, and assets totaling $130 billion. Now, critics of the deal, they note that HSBC, which was the seventh largest bank in Canada, has played a pivotal role in providing competitive borrowing costs, offering mortgage rates that are significantly lower than its larger counterparts. So the impact of this low price lending strategy on consumer choice, market competition has been notable. And again, it's sparking concerns amongst the experts of the implications of this takeover. HSBC customers, they're now starting already to feel the effects of this. They've been informed about the automatic migration of their products and services, their account balances to the equivalent RBC offerings. Additionally, HSBC customers can expect to receive new RBC credit cards. They've been advised to download investment documents that may not be accessible online post-migration. RBC spokesperson Christine Stewart, she said in an email, ensuring that clients continue to receive exceptional advice and service is our highest priority. So this transition, it marks a critical step in RBC's strategy to expand its services and further solidify its dominant position in the Canadian banking landscape. Sticking with the banking theme, it might be a little bit harder for some people to get a mortgage soon. In a pretty big move towards financial stability, Canada's banking regulator, so this is the Office of the Superintendent of Financial Institutions, known as OSFI, they've introduced new rules to address the rising tide of homeowner debt that we're seeing here in Canada. The new rules, I think, will be double-edged. First off, they will make it harder for certain prospective homeowners to qualify for a mortgage. At the same time, though, it will help weeding out mortgages sold to people who are pretty close to or maybe even on the bubble of not being able to service those that debt. Now, as a backdrop, the cost of housing in Canada obviously has continued to go up and up, skyrocket, you might say. More and more Canadians are finding themselves struggling with some of the highest debt levels across the globe. In response to this, and a lot of criticism out there, OSFI is now implementing a cap on the number of mortgages that can exceed 4.5 times the borrower's annual income. The goal here is to strengthen the financial security of Canadian households by reducing the risk of the loan defaults during whatever economic storms we might see in the future. Now, this is different from the federal mortgage stress test that is applied directly to the border, to the borrowers rather. In this case, the rules target the bank's lending portfolios and they limit the percentage of these high loan-to-income or LTI mortgages themselves from at the bank level. Shane Diazak is an OSFI spokesperson. He said that the LTI measure we are implementing is a portfolio test that is designed to prevent the buildup of highly leveraged loans during low interest rate periods. And the launch of this policy, this is a significant change now for Canadians who are struggling to secure mortgages amidst already strict qualification criteria and higher interest rates. Maggie Chung, she's from the Canadian Bankers Association, and she highlighted the banking sector's adaptability. She says that banks in Canada have a long history of working with their customers to keep their mortgages in good standing. Understanding their customers and adapting to their changing circumstances is a top priority. This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Harvest ETFs, which recently passed over the $4 billion in AUM, and where they believe in building and preserving wealth through long-term ownership of high-quality businesses. So whether you are in the market for equities or fixed income, they've got the right blend of products to help you reach your financial goals. At Harvest ETFs, their core offerings revolve around covered call strategies and helping generate income for their unit holders. To highlight a ticker, HHL, this is the Harvest Healthcare Leaders Income ETF. It has over $1.4 billion in AUM, provides investors with an 8% plus yield and exposure to 20 large capitalization global healthcare stocks. This one is a favorite amongst Canadians. And this, of course, is just one of their many offerings. If you're into fixed income, their ETF HPYT focuses on US Treasury ETFs with a covered call option strategy. All-in-one solutions like HDIF, the Harvest Diversified Monthly Income Fund, that makes portfolio allocation a breeze. And the list goes on and on, but regardless of the fund, the goal with Harvest ultimately is to deliver reliable, high monthly distributions to its investors. Harvest ETFs is a game changer for income investors. Their consistent returns and strategic approach may align perfectly with your financial goals. Visit harvestetfs.com or click on the link in the description of this video to learn more about Harvest ETFs. Also providing support for today's video is Qtrade Direct Investing, the winner of the top spot for the best online brokerage experience for Canadian investors. So if you are looking for a brokerage account, you can explore their suite of offerings of over 100 commission-free ETFs, real-time quotes, advanced portfolio analytics, stock screening tools, analyst reports, and more. With over 20 years of experience, Qtrade is trusted by self-directed investors. With instant account opening, their platform makes it easy to open and manage accounts from anywhere. Plus, you can get $50 upon opening and funding a new account, up to $150 for three accounts. So join Qtrade now, link in the description box below. The Bank of Canada has made it clear that it plans to continue reducing its balance sheet through the process of quantitative tightening, or QT, until 2025. This is according to Deputy Governor Tony Gravel. Speaking in Toronto recently, Gravel emphasized the bank's commitment to letting its Government of Canada bond holdings, which increased significantly during the pandemic, allowing them to mature without renewing them. And this stance addresses speculation amongst analysts that the bank might halt QT sooner due to recent fluctuations in overnight interest rates, suggesting that there may be a liquidity shortage. The bottom line is that the balance sheet normalization process is continuing as we laid out last year, and we have tools to manage any temporary funding pressures that might come up along the way. Now, quantitative tightening, this is essentially the opposite of the quantitative easing program that was initiated during the pandemic's peak challenges. And this aims to withdraw cash from the financial system. The process this time around, it started in the spring of 2022. It's part of the central bank strategy to support higher interest rates in its fight against inflation. Gravel noted that the bank's bond holdings would shrink until settlement balances reach a target range of between $20 billion and $40 billion. That is significantly lower than the current level of around $100 billion. He said, "Our assessment is that the surge in demand for repo funding in Canada came from growing market expectations that interest rates are going to fall." Now, in his speech, Gravel also addressed the recent dislocations in overnight lending markets, and he clarified that these are driven by specific bond market dynamics rather than a broad shortage of liquidity. Despite these challenges and market speculations out there, the Bank of Canada has been actively intervening to steer these overnight interest rates towards its target. Looking ahead, once QT ends around 2025, this time around, the bank plans to resume its asset purchases at a slower pace with more of a focus on a balance of mixed assets, including shorter term ones. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun announced this morning that he is set to step down by the end of the year. And this marks a pretty major change in the leadership of this company amidst a series of challenges that the company has faced over the last while. And this decision comes after a 737 MAX airplane, which was operated by Alaska Airlines, experienced a mid-air panel blowout in January. And this, of course, sparked a safety and reputational crisis for Boeing that they've been dealing with ever since. Alongside Calhoun's departure, Boeing also announced that Stan Deal, the president and CEO of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, will retire, and Stephanie Pope will be stepping into the lead position. Now, Steve Mollenkopf, he has been appointed as the new chair of the board. This, you know, when you look at this in entirety, it really indicates a fresh start in leadership for the company. The incident with the Alaska planes, this has further brought Boeing under intense scrutiny. The situation has become so critical that last week, a group of U.S. airline CEOs, they requested meetings with Boeing, with the Boeing directors, but they wanted to bypass Calhoun to express their concerns. And this obviously just underscores growing frustration with Boeing's handling and its leadership of the problems that it's had, and particularly, of course, in this case, with Calhoun's leadership. Following the most recent incident with the Alaska Airlines plane, the FAA capped Boeing production to a rate of 38 jets per month. Now, CFO Brian West, he says, for years we prioritized the movement of the airplane through the factory over getting it done right, and that's got to change. Now, Calhoun, he took over as CEO in January of 2020, so not that long ago, and his major task at the time was to navigate Boeing through multiple crises, including those that were stemming from the two MAX 8 crashes, and of course the pandemic-driven downturn that we saw, lowering the demand for new jets. Despite the challenges, Calhoun remained optimistic about increasing the production rate of the MAX jets. However, the recent safety incident has led to a more cautious approach, with Calhoun recently emphasizing the need to go slow to go fast. And this shift, it comes as Boeing and its main competitor, Airbus, are battling for market share, and Airbus recently secured a bunch of orders that otherwise probably would have gone to Boeing. Don't forget to subscribe to our Pulse newsletter that goes out every weekend to help you stay up to date. If you haven't already done so, visit our Investing Academy. I will put a link for both the newsletter and for the Academy in this video's description. Again, thank you so much for watching. Hope to see you again on Wednesday.